Welcome back, listeners. Today, we're taking a deep dive into resilience. But get this, we're going straight to the source. Nature itself.
Nature's been doing this resilience thing for, what, millions of years? It's got to have some tricks up its sleeve.
Right. So we've got all these articles, adaptations, ecosystems bouncing back from, like, fires and stuff. Even how communities in nature are resilient.
It's fascinating. And the first thing we have to clarify is, resilience is not just about being tough.
Yeah, it's more than just gritting your teeth and pushing through, right?
Exactly. It's about the ability to adapt, recover, and even, like, transform after something tough happens. It's not about clinging to the old ways. It's about coming out the other side stronger.
So going with the flow and coming out stronger on the other side.
Yeah. It's a shade language, you know, between humans and nature when it comes to this whole resilience thing.
Okay. I can kind of see that.
Think about how ecosystems work. It's all interconnected. Each species has its role. They're supporting each other in all these crazy ways.
Right, like trees helping each other out through their roots.
Exactly. And just like those trees, we humans are much stronger when we're connected to.
I like that analogy. But okay, full disclosure, when I think nature and resilience, I think of those crazy animal survival skills.
Well, yeah, the like changing colors and living in crazy environments kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Well, you're not wrong to go there. Nature has some serious showstoppers when it comes to adaptations. But what's really cool is that these adaptations didn't just happen overnight, you know? It's genetics and evolution working over a long, long time.
So it's not magic, it's science. Give me some examples.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of nature's best resilience moves?
Okay, so the Arctic fox, right? Its fur doesn't just change color to blend in with the snow, but it also gets thicker for warmth.
Whoa, it's like a built-in winter coat, A&D invisibility cloak. How does it even know when to switch it up?
It's all about sensing those subtle shifts in the seasons and responding accordingly. Pretty incredible, right? This whole adapting thing is something we can learn from, you know? Has that ever made you think about how you've adapted in your own life?
Ooh, good question. Now, while we're on the topic of tough conditions, what about desert animals? They've got to have some crazy adaptations to survive out there.
Oh, absolutely. Take the kangaroo rat, for example. That little guy gets almost all its water just from the seeds it eats.
Wait, so no secret springs or anything? Just like super-powered moisture extraction from seeds?
Basically, it's all about those super-efficient kidneys they've evolved over time. Those that could conserve every drop of water survive and pass down those genes. So, yeah, nature's playing the long game here.
Slow and steady wins the resilience race, huh? It's a good reminder that resilience is a journey, not a destination. Speaking of journeys, let's zoom out a bit and talk ecosystems. They're not just static backdrops, right? They change and adapt too.
You got it. Ecosystems are what we call dynamic, meaning disruptions are totally normal. What might look destructive on the surface can actually lead to renewal and even greater resilience in the long run.
Okay, I sense a but coming here. Give me an example.
Think about forest fires, right? They sound scary, but some trees actually need fire to release their seeds. Plus, that ash afterwards, it's like natural fertilizer, making the soil even richer for new growth.
So it's like a reset button for the forest, a chance to start fresh and come back even stronger.
Exactly. Or coral reefs. Bleaching events are bad news, but given enough time and the right conditions, reefs can recover, like hitting reset, but it takes time.
That's reassuring, especially with all the threats coral reefs face. So it's like they're always in flux, but there's a stable foundation underneath it all.
Yeah. It's this idea of dynamic equilibrium. They're always adjusting, but it's about keeping those core functions going to keep the whole system running smoothly. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's like me trying to keep up a healthy routine even when life's crazy. Got to adapt, but keep those core values strong.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of adapting and thriving, we got to talk about biodiversity. The more diverse an ecosystem is, the more resilient it tends to be.
More diverse meaning more different kinds of species.
Yeah. So if one species has a hard time, others can fill in the gaps, keeping the whole system going. Like a diverse investment portfolio, you know, spread the risk.
And this applies to human communities too, right? The more diverse our skills and experiences, the better we can adapt to change and solve problems. So diversity isn't just a feel-good thing. It's about making us smarter and more resilient overall.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Are you ready for some more of these awesome examples of resilience in action?
Oh, I'm definitely ready for more. I have a feeling we're just scratching the surface of nature's wisdom here.
So we've been talking about biodiversity and how that plays into resilience for entire ecosystems. But what about, like, individual species? How do they show resilience?
Yeah, hit me with those nature wow moments. What you got?
Well, think about trees, right? They stand tall even in crazy wind. And they don't snap. They've got these thick, flexible trunks that bend without breaking.
Huh. Makes you think about how you deal with pressure. Am I bending like a tree or just snapping?
That's the question, isn't it? And it shows how important it is to be flexible if you want to be resilient. Sometimes you gotta bend, not resist with all your might.
Flexibility is key. What other resilient superpowers can we steal from nature?
How about the power of chilling out, conserving energy? Lots of animals and plants have these periods of dormancy to get through tough times.
Like bears hibernating.
Exactly. Hibernation's amazing, helps them save energy when food's scarce. But think about us. When was the last time you really rested? Nature's telling us rest ain't weakness, it's strategic.
I'm kind of feeling a nature nap coming on after this. But before I doze off, there was one more example that I was really curious about.
Yeah. The octopus. Talk about a master of escape, camouflage, problem solving.
Seriously, they can squeeze through like the tiniest spaces. Resourceful little guys.
Totally adaptable. Makes me wonder, what's your most resourceful moment? When did you have to get creative to beat a challenge?
Ooh, good one. I'm sure I've surprised myself with my own resilience a time or two. But let's shift gears a bit. We talked about it earlier, but I want to dig deeper into this whole community resilience thing.
Perfect timing, because nature is full of examples of how teamwork boosts resilience. Take bees and flowers, for instance.
Okay, bees and flowers, what's their secret?
Mutual benefit. Bees spread the pollen so flowers can make more flowers, and the flowers provide nectar for the bees to eat. They need each other.
Stronger together. Classic win-win.
Ah.
And the whole ecosystem benefits.
Exactly. Shows how community resilience works, right? Support and rely on each other, the whole network gets stronger.
It really does take a village, especially when things get tough.
For sure. And you want to see some serious teamwork? Look at ants.
Ants. Okay, they're cool and all, but what can they teach us about resilience?
Ants are masters of cooperation. They work together to overcome obstacles. They share resources, protect their colony. Some ants can even make rafts out of their own bodies to survive floods.
Wait, a floating ant raft? That's wild.
Right. It shows how even the smallest can do amazing things when they team up. The colony comes first, and they've got crazy collective resilience.
So it's not about being a lone wolf. It's about the power of unity.
Hmm.
Kind of like those times when you're part of a team and you achieve something incredible that you couldn't have done alone.
Exactly. All these examples, from the kangaroo rat to the ants, show us different sides of resilience. We can learn to adapt to our surroundings like desert plants, be prepared, and tough like migratory birds.
And don't forget perseverance. Like sea turtles,
mm-hmm.
facing all those challenges right from when they hatch.
Right. Their journey is like a metaphor for never giving up on your goals. And of course, teamwork, like the ants. We can do so much more when we work together.
This is all great, but sometimes it feels hard to connect these awesome nature stories back to our own lives.
Yeah.
How do we actually use this wisdom?
You're right. It's one thing to admire it, another to live it. And one of the simplest ways is to just spend more time in nature.
Back to connecting with nature. We touched on the mental health benefits earlier, but is there more to it than that?
Oh, yeah. Being in nature doesn't just lower stress and boost your mood. It's also a chance to practice mindfulness and reflect.
Mindfulness in nature. What's that look like?
Could be as simple as walking in the woods, paying attention to what you see, hear, feel, or find a quiet spot and just observe.
So slow down, disconnect, be present. But with trees and birds instead of a yoga studio.
Exactly. And there are so many benefits. Those natural cycles of growth and decay, it can give you a whole new perspective.
Like nature's holding up a mirror, showing us the rhythms of life.
I like that. And by seeing how adaptable nature is, how resilient, they can help us deal with our own challenges and find some peace.
It's about finding those moments of awe, those little bits of wisdom that nature's always whispering to us. But how do we actually do that? What are some tips for being more mindful out in nature? So we're talking about how to be mindful in nature. Sounds great, but I need some practical tips here. What can I actually do?
One simple thing is to go on what I call a nature observation walk. Not about exercise. It's about really noticing your surroundings.
Less power walking, more like a walk in meditation with trees and birds instead of a yoga mat.
Exactly. Pay attention to the colors, the shapes, hear the wind and the leaves. Use all your senses. Maybe bring a journal to jot down what you notice or any thoughts that come up.
Ooh, I like that. It's like having a conversation with nature. But what about when you only have a few minutes? Like, I need a quick dose of nature's chill vibes. What can I do then?
You can try a grounding exercise. Stand or sit outside, feet on the ground, close your eyes. Feel that connection to the earth. Imagine you're part of the landscape, strong and steady, like a tree.
Trees are the best. So strong. But sometimes, it's not just about feeling peaceful, right? It's about dealing with stress, those tough challenges. And we were saying before how stress isn't always bad.
Right. For both nature and humans, stress can actually help us grow, help us adapt.
So those tough times, the ones that push us, they can actually make us more resilient.
Yeah, in the right amount. It's like when something challenges us, our body kicks in with these hormones, gets us ready to respond, like a built-in alarm system.
Fight or flight, right? Heart racing, adrenaline pumping.
Yep. And while too much stress is definitely bad, short bursts of it, it can make us sharper, more focused, more motivated. Like a workout for our resilience. Got to push ourselves, but also rest up afterwards.
Find that balance. Challenge and recovery. But what about when the stress is huge? Not just a little setback, but something really hard, maybe even traumatic.
That's where post-traumatic growth comes in. It's this idea that even after something awful, you can still grow in a positive way. It doesn't erase what happened, but it's about finding a way to make it part of your story so you come out stronger, maybe even more compassionate.
So not just bouncing back, but growing because of what happened. Finding strength you didn't know you had.
Exactly. Nature shows us this all the time. Remember those forest fires? Yeah, destructive, but they create space for new growth. The forest can become even richer, more diverse than before.
Wow. So even the toughest things can lead to renewal. We can't control what happens, but we can choose how we respond to it.
And that brings us back to a key part of resilience, community.
Right. Bees, flowers, those ant rafts. But how does that work for us?
Well, nature teaches us that strong social networks are vital. Just like those underground fungi connecting trees, strong communities provide support, resources, a safety net for everyone.
It's about those bonds that help us through tough times. More than just having lots of online friends, it's about real connection, belonging.
Exactly. Resilient communities also need access to things like healthcare, food, energy. They got to be reliable, especially during a crisis.
So systems that can adapt and bounce back. It makes me think, could we be less reliant on those huge systems that can be so fragile?
You're on the right track. There are amazing communities all over that are using decentralized, sustainable solutions, like community gardens for food or renewable energy microgrids that work even when the main power's out.
That's awesome. It's about giving communities the power to be self-reliant, to thrive even when things are uncertain.
And it's about giving them a voice, you know? When people feel heard, they care more about their community and take ownership of their resilience.
So less top-down, more everyone working together. Like how everything in a healthy ecosystem plays its part.
Exactly. And diversity is crucial here too. Just like in nature, the more diverse our skills, our perspectives, the better we can solve problems and come up with creative solutions.
We all have something to contribute. Our combined wisdom is so much greater.
Couldn't agree more. As we wrap up our resilience deep dive, remember, this is just the start. Nature's given us these incredible insights, but the real work is using them in our lives and communities.
So listeners, as you go through life, remember what we've learned. Bend like the trees. Rest like the hibernators. Be resourceful like an octopus. We're all part of this amazing web of life.
Embrace change, learn from nature, and stay connected to the natural world and to each other. That's how we build the strength to thrive no matter what comes our way. Thanks for joining us.